Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today I'm extremely honored to have a good friend, an old friend, joining with me from Florida to share his experience about vision loss. So let me say welcome to Samuel Burke. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Yudeli. Good morning, Barbados, to all your listeners. Thank you for giving me the honor of being on your program this morning.
It's my honor and pleasure. So, Sam, I know that you're Barbadian and you migrated to the USA. So I want you to tell us a little about yourself, all of what I know about you and other things that I don't know about you.
Okay, I will try to see if I can get that within the time scope of this meeting that we have. I don't know if I'll be successful. But nonetheless, before I even go there, I must say it's really a privilege to have this opportunity to talk to you, Yudeli. Yudeli and I have been friends from way back in the day of the AYPA and the BYC in Barbados. And between our last meeting and now, it has been an interval of maybe 35 or 40 years. So it really is a pleasure to be back here sitting and talking with her about something that we have in common, that being our vision impairment. I am going to be celebrating my 60th birthday this year. And I had the situation where in 2020, after having gone through a whole set of different life experiences, I lost my vision. Initially, I lost it in my left eye. And then I lost it in my right eye. And after a series of surgeries and medical procedures, I was able to regain a little bit of sight in my left eye. But right now, I'm still completely blind in my right. Other than that, I have my family in Barbados, my adult children, and my extended family, and lots of friends who I rely on heavily.
Okay, Sam, so can you explain how you acquired your vision loss? Is it something hereditary? Is it something that accidental?
Ironically, I don't know that I can medically say that it is not hereditary, in that one of my sisters is encountering or enduring very much the same things that I am incurring. She's a few years older than I am. And she's incurring the same kind of vision issues that I am having. So maybe it's a little bit hereditary. But for my own part, I will be the first to raise my hand and say that I believe that mine is a little bit of lax attention to warnings, in that I have atrial defibrillation, AFib, and having a quote-unquote bad heart and bad heart issues. On one occasion, I had a situation where I temporarily lost vision. And at that time, I didn't pay any attention to it. I thought it was...
Okay.
And in ignoring it, when I should have paid close attention to it, I lost the opportunity to stop the degradation of my sight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how has this changed your life now, your vision loss?
It has changed my life drastically, in that having lost my sight when I was well advanced in my years, I was in my 50s when I lost my sight, I would have already had gone through many stages of sighted existence. And to go from having full sight to being limited in the things that I can do, as simple a thing as driving a vehicle, I'm no longer able to drive, for example. There are certain places that I don't have the ability to go safely. Things like being out at night, I tend to shy away from things after dark. So from that aspect, my vision loss has impacted on my life. But there are also positives, in that it has forced me to become more self-assured, in that if I have to get something from the store, rather than me waiting for someone to come and take me to the store, I'll find a way to get there. You know, I'll call an Uber or walk and use my walking cane or whatever. Whatever means I have to get what I need done, I will do. You know, and from that point of view, that has change and it continues to evolve because I am only in this vision loss world for maybe the last 4 or 5 years. So I would say that in the broad scheme of things, I'm still evolving in the learning process.
Nice, nice. Well, that's how life is. We evolve day by day. You know, we make the necessary adjustments. So, Sam, how did the relevant organizations come into play in encouraging you and guiding you in leading an independent life? Because I know that oftentimes when persons lose their vision or acquire some impairment, there's a orientation and mobility officer that will work with the individual, teaching them how to use their cane, the white cane, and just become more independent moving around. So how has that journey been for you?
Okay, what I would say, my initial response is there are programs, certainly where I live. However, as a visually impaired person and a blind person and a person with challenges, one has to be prepared to raise their hand. You know, like when we were back in school, the teacher would ask the question, and in order to get the teacher's attention, you had to raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
That was a situation that I certainly encountered in that in the initial stages of my vision loss, I felt that I had to do this thing on my own. And I pretty much spent the first maybe 2 years of my vision loss on my own, doing everything for myself. And then I got involved with an organization here called Lighthouse of Florida. And that organization reevaluated everything that I did. They didn't seek to change anything, but what they certainly did was taught me the ability to do things differently, better, and
right,
safe. And I think that because of that, I am a lot more equipped to handle vision loss and visual impairment.
Okay, so Sam, are you still working?
Yes, I recently went back out to work earlier this year. I had been off work, and one of the things and one of the challenges that I faced was dealing with the mental step of getting back out into the work world. When I had lost my sight in 2020, I sort of went into a protective shell. And there was a lot of telling myself, I wasn't sure that I could do this. I don't think I can do this. And then I took the step. I stepped up and I was able to get back out to work. And now I think I manage it pretty well. There's still challenges, you know, getting back out into the working world, doing the hustle. But at this point in time, certainly the work has given me a new focus and a reason to get up every morning rather than sitting in a dark room, so to speak.
Okay. And how would you say that you are balancing your professional life and your personal life? Is it easy to do?
In some instances, it can be challenging. But even before my vision loss, I tried to draw a solid line between the professional and the personal, because I don't want to bring the baggage from the professional to the personal and vice versa. And now that there is the additional challenge of visual impairment, I absolutely try to delineate between when I clock out from work and come home. I try to keep home the place that I come to as my refuge. And I draw a clear delineation between those two.
Wonderful. I think sometimes it can prove a bit difficult for some individuals to make that demarcation. Now, let's look at technology, because most of us who have vision impairment or any type of disability for that matter can use technology to benefit our independence, our general movement. How has that been for you? Are you using the technology?
I am extremely excited about the technology. And I am also excited about the evolution of the technology. When we have the opportunity to be in touch with some of the things that are evolving, we hear that almost every month, maybe every quarter perhaps, there are apps now which allow us to point a phone, for example, at a paper dollar or $5, and it will tell you what value of currency it is. You can go into a room and use your phone to tell you how many people are in the room, what colors are in the room. There's technology that can tell us when we come to intersections in the road, what color the light is, and when the cycle of the light is going to turn that we can safely cross. The technology is so advanced. It is amazing. And certainly in the Lighthouse of Florida, where I got my initial training before I went back out to work, they have programs for technology, for daily living, and for mobility. And very quickly, as a way of explanation, in the mobility, for example, we have tutors designated to actually take us out onto the highways, the roads, the intersections, and they actually show us how visually impaired and blind people can safely navigate intersections. I mean, crossing 8-lane highways, for example. In our daily living experiences, we were taught how to cook safely using ovens and stoves and stove tops, and the intricacies of using the washing machine and being able to sort out quantities of washing liquid and all of those, basically things that we can use for daily living and access equally, even though we're challenged. So the technology is right there, and I'm excited about it.
I certainly agree with you, Sam, because I too use the technology, and it definitely has enhanced the manner in which I can perform on my job as well as navigate in the personal space, you know? So it definitely is a tool that is extremely useful to us as persons with disabilities. Now, do you think that society's perception of people with disabilities, particularly blind and visually impaired, as we're focusing on you with this specific condition, do you think that the society's perception of us has changed over the years? Or do they still view people with disabilities as lesser than individuals that always need help, you know, helpless, those type of concepts they have?
I'll answer that question in two parts, really. And to be very fair, I have left Barbados now over 2 decades. So obviously things have changed a lot since I have lived in Barbados, but I have not disassociated myself from home. And where I live is completely different to our existence here at home in Barbados. However, I think that in small societies, maybe like ours, there is still a certain amount of marginalization of persons with disabilities, certainly with the blind. And blind people are viewed as being less. Whereas in a lot of other societies, they are given a much more even opportunity to function. There are too many visually impaired and blind people, certainly in our small society here in Barbados, but in the larger society, who are relegated to sitting at home, and a lot of families wait on them hand and foot. You know, if the person wants to get a cup of water from the fridge, for example, someone runs over and grabs that cup of water. And I mean, at least they can get a cup of water for themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it is things like that that would certainly serve to change the precepts and concepts of persons who are visually impaired and blind by the knowledge and empowering the people in their lives to give them the opportunity to function equally.
And how would you say you have done that personally within your Florida space?
At this point in time, I live on my own and I do every single thing for myself. I cook, I wash, shop, work, go to church. I don't do much social activities, and that is by choice. But every other part of my life, I do for myself. And there are times when things are challenging, but when things are challenging and there are people around, I step up and I said, hey, I need your assistance. And one of the things that I've learned really quickly is that even though I will try to do things on my own, if someone offers me a helping hand and I perceive that it is genuinely offered as assistance and not pity, I will almost always take that assistance graciously and say, thank you, go and do what I have to do and move along.
Okay. So how would you say your family, given that they're still residing in Barbados and your friends in Florida, have been supportive of you? Because I know this is one area that many individuals experience severe challenges, not having that strong family support to, you know, make their journey with their impairment a bit more comfortable and easy to navigate.
My family in Barbados has been completely supportive of me. And my friends here in Florida have been pretty much the same. But one of the things that has buoyed me is that having lost my vision at the age where I lost it as, I knew who I was. I don't think I was evolving in terms of character and personality. So I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew where I was going, or I had an idea of how I wanted to get there. And I was prepared to tell my family, you know, this is what I want and this is what I will not accept. And the same thing with my circle of friends. So I think that the word that comes to my mind when it comes to my family and friends is that they treat me equally. I am not treated as a lesser person or a family member or a friend who needs to be held. And, you know, my circle of friends look out for me. And I think it's a mutual thing. As best as I can, I do the same for them.
Wonderful. And another great area or area of concern for many individuals is creating that space and that balance so that you're able to maintain good mental health as well as good physical health. How does that work for you?
One of the things that I have really focused on, certainly within the last few years, is making time to be with me. And it has become very important in that my experience in my vision loss has focused me to change the way that I interact with people, one, and the way that I interact with myself. It has forced me to do a lot more listening and rely more heavily on my other senses. So the ability to be in a quiet space is really important to me. You know, I will not, for example, go to a noisy, for want of a better word, I wouldn't go to a noisy disco because of the overpowering noise, I can't focus. So it is things like that that I have changed and adjusted. A quiet space is good for me because then I can hear what's going on around me as opposed to seeing as effectively as I would like to. From that perspective, that has changed. And that is a balance that I try to strike in terms of my personal and the other spheres of my life.
Beautiful. As we look at your living with your vision impairment, Sam, what would you say has been one of the major organizations that have guided you and supported you in this journey? And just speak to us generally about your networking and how that has benefited you.
Okay. Two organizations here locally have really held my hand. Locally, it's called the Division of Blind Services and the Lighthouse of Florida. Those two organizations are phenomenal in looking after the needs of visually impaired persons. These are organizations which, either spoken or unspoken, they tell us as visually impaired people that we are equal and we are able to contribute. And they refuse to let us be marginalized. In terms of networking, I have seen the fruits of that networking. As recently as last week, I had the opportunity to come home to bring a set of assistive devices to our people at home for them to use in their daily activities. And it was through the networking of some good friends, Mark Anthony and Carrie Ann Eiffel and others, I was able to get that from Florida to Barbados. And ultimately, the goal is to get it into the hands of the people of Barbados and make sure that they are well equipped to get out and tell Barbados, here I am, accept me.
Nice. And I must say thank you so much for that contribution to the community here, because we definitely can use the support, the technical assistance, because as one of my friends generally would say, disability is an expensive habit. So the support is cherished. Now, Sam, we're having such a good time. Our clock on the wall is saying it's almost time to go. So I want you to share with me one inspiring story that has added maybe joy or just that overall good feeling for you.
There are lots of small stories that I could relate, but the one thing that I remember since having lost my vision was in 2021, 22. As I said, I was in a bad place in terms of my mental state, and I hadn't been home in a few years. And the ability to make the trip from Florida to Barbados was daunting. But I was able to step out and make the trip through 2 international airports, 3 if you count Grantley Adams, and I was able to get home to see my family and friends. And when I got outside of the arrival lounge at Grantley Adams Airport, I punched the air like if I had hit a 6 over the walls at Kensington, and I said, yes, I made it home safely. So, you know, to others that may have seemed like nothing, but to a visually impaired person traveling on their own for the first time after having lost their vision, that was monumental to me. And I really think that that was one of the small victories that I've achieved in the short term since I lost my vision.
Fabulous. And what parting message would you have for people who may have acquired a disability, whether as a young person or as an older person?
My message would be to say this: stand up and be recognized. But before you do that, know your strengths and your weaknesses. Build on your strengths, improve your weaknesses, and refuse to be marginalized. I keep using that word marginalized, but that is exactly how I feel. Don't be pushed to the side. And in stepping forward, once you make that first step as a challenged person, the second step is always easier, and it gets easier as you go along. But the other message that I would like to send to the powers that be and whoever else is in Barbados is that when challenged people step up, we need to have a certain acceptance and the leeway to let those people flourish, not in pity, but in equal opportunity. Let them know that they are accepted, welcomed, and given the opportunity to flourish, because they can and we will flourish. And certainly the accessibility at home is something that I have to take this opportunity while the wider Barbados society is listening to beg and plead for the open culverts and the uneven sidewalks and all of those other things that make it difficult for persons like myself and you, Yudeli, to maneuver around the country. We need help with those things in the worst possible way. Sidewalks need to be improved, accessibility. And once our people stand up and the accessibility is available, everybody wins. That is what I would say as a parting message.
And your messages are so true, and I believe they will be taken to heart. So I definitely want to say thank you. Thank you so much, Sam, for sharing so candidly and allowing us to get a peek into your life, and also for giving us words of encouragement and motivation. So thank you for sharing with us on Visions today.
Thank you for having me on your show, Yudeli. It has been absolutely a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks again. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest today, Samuel Burke. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300, and you can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados vision@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes of Vision by going to the VOB929.com website. And until next week, remember to love yourself, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Ciao!